We meet today on this 15th day of the Omer, Rosh Chodesh. Well, at least the last day of the month, but we call it Rosh Chodesh also, remember. So we're still in Nisan, but heading into Iyar. And we're holding today on Daf Chof Beis, which is the last, sadly, the last Daf of Shkolim, since we've had such a marvelous time. It's going to be hard to say goodbye. And we're holding right at the bottom of Chof Aleph Amud Beis. We are at the Halakha Mishnah in Halacha Gimel. So we begin. Boser Kotche Kotchim is where we're up to. So Boser Kotche Kotchim Shenitma. Now, the truth is that the issues over here are expanding. Let's recognize that what we've been talking about for the past couple of days is where. In other words, what is the relationship between where something is and what its halacha is, correct? Now, that's been overall, it started off with just questions of where we found something, or really before, because in a sense, where we put things, where we put the cash, is going to be defined by the shofarot. Then we talked about finding things between the shofarot. And then we talked about finding things in Yerushalayim, or finding things on the Har HaBayit. Finding things is defined by where and when. So basically, even though this does not appear, this Mishnah, to have much to do with the inyanim of Shkolim overall, instead it's more like dinim that have to do with issues in Kotchim totally. But since all of these halachas that we're going to be talking about is about where, either where it is that we need to deal with something, where it is that we put something in order to identify what it is, it's continuing the end of the Masechet, which is about where, placement. So now the question is like this. Somebody has a Boser Kotche Kotchim, and it became tummy. So whether it became tummy, Bein ba'avatuma or bein bivlat hatuma, the question is, where exactly do we burn it? Because we know that there were two possible places to burn kotchim that are tame. One is in the actual azara. So many times we have a psul where it says yisaref miyad. So then it's yisaref miyad in the azara itself. But at other times, it's nisraf bifnei habira, which is outside of the azara itself. So the question is, do we put it in the base hadeshan, which is right near the mizbeach, or do we burn it in apnei habira? So we've got a four-way machlokas about this. And let me just make it very simple. There are two factors that we need to take into consideration. One is where the psul took place. Where did the tumah took place? Because the mashma'ut of the pasuk is that if something takes place as a psul in the kodesh, so then ba'kodesh yisaref. But if it doesn't take place in the kodesh, then we don't say ba'kodesh yisaref. So that's the question number one. But there's another question. The other question is, we're not allowed to have things that are tamei in the azara. Remember, there's a din of shiluach to me, and that applies shiluach to get rid of things that are tame. So the question is whether the issue of burning it in situ is more important than first just get it out of here before you burn it here, and that's the more immediate thing that you can do, and then burn it outside. So we've got to balance those two factors. Now, there are four different approaches to the balance of those two factors. We have Beit Shammai and on one extreme, we have Beit Hillel on the other extreme, and then we have Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer in the middle. So Beit Shammai says the most important issue is that there is a mitzvah to burn things inside, in the if it's kotche kotchim, because that's where they belong. And I don't care, says Beit Shammai, whether the tumah took place bifnim or whether it took place b'chutz. All cases are going to be burned bifnim, except for one. And that's the case where the tumah took place outside, and it also is a tumah that is chomor. So something became tame with an av hatumah. So if you have both factors mitigating against doing the sreifa bifnim, then we do the sreifa b'chutz. So if it's both the Tumah Chamura and the Tumah actually took place b'chutz, according to Beit Shammai, that's the only time that we'll burn it b'chutz. But if we don't have both factors mitigating against, then we burn b'fnim. We'll go into more detail in the Gemara. Whereas Beit Hillel say just the opposite. In all cases, the most important issue is to make sure that we do not have Tumah in the Azara. So the only case where we will burn something in the Azara is where we have all both of those factors allowing you to burn in the Azara and pointing towards burning the Azara. A, the Tumah took place in the Azara, and B, it is a Tumah Kala, and therefore we don't have the same Akpara of allowing it to remain in the Azara. Those are the two opening shitas, in which case, if we make ourselves a chart of the four possible cases that are going to be created by the combination of the two issues, Tumah Chamura, Tumah Kala, Tumah Bifnim, or Tumah Bachutz. So that gives us basically a table of four different cases. Tumah Kala Bifnim, Tumah Kala Bachutz, Tumah Chamura Bifnim, Tumah Chamura Bachutz. We're going to find that Beit Shammai has only one of those cases is going to be Bachutz, and that is where the Tumah took place, Bachutz, and the Tumah is also Chomor. We don't want to bring it in. And according to Beis Hillel, we're only going to have one of those cases where we can burn it Bifnim, which is where the Tumah took place, Bifnim, and it's a Tumah Kala. So that's your first table, very easy to remember. And therefore, we move on now to the Machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer about whether indeed there are two factors. Rabbi Eliezer says there are no two factors. There's only one factor, and that is, what's the chumra of the Tumah? So Rabbi Eliezer says, look, anything that's tameh with an Ava Tumah has got to get out of the Beis HaMikdash. Do not burn it bifnim. So whether the Tumah took place bifnim, the Tumah took place b'chutz, I don't view that as an issue. And therefore, if it's really tameh b'Ava Tumah, burn it outside. So bein bifnim, bein b'chutz, yisoref b'chutz. If it's only tameh with a Tumah Kala, we're going to discuss what that means. So then bein b'chutz, bein bifnim, I don't care, that's not a factor. The only issue that is a factor is whether it's not chomer. If it's not chomer, if it's kachim kachim, it should be handled in the Azara if we don't have a pressing reason to get it out of the Azara. Okay, so according to Rabbi Eliezer, single factor, the chumra of the Tumah. Rabbi Akiva says, I say just the opposite. I agree, there's only a single factor, but the single factor is where, not what. And therefore, whether we're talking about a Tumah Chamura or we're talking about a Tumah Kala, Makom Tumato Sham Sreifato. So you can now see you filled in your chart, and it's very simple. According to Rabbi Akiva, there's one issue. Where did it become Tameh? According to Rabbi Eliezer, there's one issue. What is it Tameh with? According to Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, there are two issues. However, their importance is measured in opposite direction. According to Beit Shammai, unless both elements mitigate against being inside, we're inside. According to Beit Hillel, unless both elements point towards burning inside, we're outside. That's it. Now, the problem is that this is an oversimplification. The reason it's an oversimplification, Yaakov, please mute yourself. The reason it's an oversimplification is because of the fact that we have not defined the nature of Tumah Kala and Tumah Chamura. And that adds an additional lot of extra columns in our little graph. So let us get into that question now. Says the Gemara, Bar Kapara Omar, Ava Tumah means an Ava Tumah Diraisa. Vlad HaTumah means a Vlad HaTumah Midrabbana. So let's just remember what that is, because we had exactly this discussion when it came to Rabbi Hanina Sgan HaKohanim back in Pesachim. If you recall, we raised over there the question of whether the Mishnah of Rabbi Hanina Sgan HaKohanim was talking about burning something that was Nitma with a Vlad HaTumah Midrabbana, and whether I would be allowed to add that to the tumah that was tameh. So there we had a machlokas Rashi and Tosfos. Unfortunately, it gets more and more complex as we go down with each lower level, because the machlokas Rashi and Tosfos adds yet another level of complexity and additional columns in our chart. Rashi says over there by Rabbi Chanina's Kana Kohanim that Av HaTuma is by definition Dvar Torah, and Vlad HaTuma is by definition the Rabbana. Tosfos says that makes no sense at all, because there's lots of Av HaTumas that are the Rabbana. As a matter of fact, in today's Limud of Ehalos, we're going to have one of the most common of the Vlad of the Av HaTumas the Rabbana, which is a Beit HaPras. A Beit HaPras is someone who is Tamei Meis, he becomes an Av HaTuma, but it's entirely Min Rabbana that he becomes an Av HaTuma. And furthermore, we could certainly be talking about a Vlad HaTuma Midyaraisa. What would the difference be? Well, remember, what would be a Vlad HaTuma Midivreya? Well, it's some of the Gezeras that we had, remember, was like really amazingly far-fetched. According to the Rabbanan Mashkin, just regular one of the Shiva Mashkin, if they become Tamei, they can be Mitamei Kalin, which is unbelievable, because Mashkin can never be an Avatuma, and a Kli can only be Mekabel Tuma from an Avatuma. The only reason that we made this Gezera, that Mashkin are considered to be so Tamei that they will even be Mitamei Kalin, is because of the fact that it's possible to confuse liquids with body fluids. And body fluids, of course, can be Av HaTuma. And because of that, so we have the Gezerah, because Mashkin are Alulim, the Kabel Tuma, and we want to make sure that people are properly Machmer on these liquids. But that is like, whoa, very, very Durabonin, right? So now suppose one of these Kalim that became Tame with Mashkin, which is like a Vlad of a Vlad of Tuma, now touches some of the Kodshei Kodshim, that is about as Dirabonan Vladi as you can get, right? So that's a Vlad Tuma Dirabonan. But we could also certainly have Kalim that became Tame by touching an Avela. I don't know, touching a Mace who's an Ava, or a Tame Mace who's an Avatuma, and he can be Matame Kalim Diraisa. And then if any of the Kodshim touched that Kli would have become a Rishon, and now that food becomes a Shani. And a Shani is the Orisa 100%. So there could certainly be a Vlad HaTuma Derabbanan and a Vlad HaTuma Derisa. Bar Kapora asserts that the only way to understand the Mishnah is to say that the machlokas between our four Shitas is predicated on an understanding that the difference between the Av HaTuma and the Vlad HaTuma is not simply a difference in the Chumrah of the level of the Tuma, because he doesn't believe there is such a difference. The difference is only in whether the Tuma actually exists, Midiraisa, or it's a fiction as far as the Diraisa is concerned and only exists Midirabona. We're going to be getting into the logic of Bar Kapora's understanding of the Mishnah in a moment. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan says, no, 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 why should we say that? I mean, the Mishnah is contrasting Av HaTuma and Vlad HaTuma. It is not contrasting Diraisas and Dirabonans. And therefore, Bein Ze is talking about Dvar Torah. Now, the first thing we want to do is knock off any consideration here in the Yerushalmi of Rabbi Yochanan, because we do not know how to work Rabbi Yochanan into the Shitas and the Mishnah, since we are not aware of a distinction between the level of the Chumrah, of the Tuma, if it's the Oraisa, and our concern with having that Tuma in the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, we find Rabbi Yochanan to be confusing. So therefore, ask the Gemara, how would Rabbi Yochanan make sense when it comes to understanding Beit Shammai? Kasha to Rabbi Yochanan al Beit Shammai. I mean, Beit Shammai basically says everything should be burned bifnim. There's only one case where we burn bachutz, and that's where both issues, that is to say, both the chumrah of the tuma and where the tuma took place, mitigate against burning it in side. Otherwise, we burn it inside, right? Hakol Yisrael Fifnim, except for Nitma Ba'ava Tuma Bachutz. Now, can you explain to me, according to Rabbi Yochanan, what the heck is the difference between an Ava Tuma Bachutz or a Vlad Tuma Bachutz? I mean, if they're both the Arises, where do you get the idea that one of them means we should burn it outside, but the other one we're allowed to burn it inside, even though it's a Tumah D'Oraisa? Is it not so that Zevezeh Lav Devar Torah Hu? Aren't we, according to Rabbi Yochanan, talking about two exactly same cases where both are Tumah D'Oraisas? And Rabbi Yochanan seems to assert that there's a difference in Chumra. Where does that come from? Either you are allowed to have it in the Beit HaMikdash or you're not. Okay, so I don't understand how Rabbi Yochanan explains Beit Shammai. But I also don't understand how Rabbi Yochanan fits into Beit Hillel either. Vafilo the Beit Hillel, lo mikasha, is it a big problem? I mean, what is Beit Hillel saying? Beit Hillel is saying that in all and every case but one, we always burn it b'chutz because we don't want to have the tumah inside. The only case where we will burn it inside is where it's a vlad ha-tumah inside. Now, according to Rabbi Yochanan, again, where does he know that there's a difference between the chumrah of the tumah and allowing it to be in the Beis HaMikdash? Ma bein vlad ha-tumah bifnim. Ma bein av atuma bifnim. What's the difference if it's a vlad or it's an av? They're both the d'oraisas, according to Rabbi Yochanan. Ze v'ze lav dvar torahu. So I don't know what the mocker of Rabbi Yochanan is if he's insisting that there is some basis for us being mechalik between the level of the chumrah of the tumah. I don't know where that comes from. So basically, we are going to ignore Rabbi Yochanan. And lo havel barabbanan el al debar kapara. The entire discussion here in the Gemara was only focused on bar kapara's approach because that was the way that we at least figured out how to deal with it. And here's how we deal with it. We started out by asking, okay, I mean, how exactly does bar kapara explain Beit Shammai? I mean, kashin bar kapara to Beit Shammai. Beit Shammai is saying we always burn bifnim if that's possible. The only time that we burn b'chutz is if it was both av hatuma and therefore should not be brought in, and it was also the tuma took place b'chutz. Now, I mean, according to Bar Kapora, what basically is the difference? If you're telling me that he understands that av hatuma is the oraisa, and that's why we're being machmir, so then why isn't he machmir whether it took place, the tumah took place bifnim or took place b'chutz? Isn't he focusing on the chumrah of the tumah in terms of its being a d'oraisa d'rabbanan? So what's the difference between meat that became tameh b'chutz or meat that became tameh bifnim, since his entire focus was, is it d'oraisa or not? Is it not so that zeh v'zeh lav dvar torahu? Answers the Gemara, well, obviously, the Mishnah, it's speaking about Bar Kapara. I mean, the Mishnah itself has identified the sheet of Rabbi Akiva that articulates very, very clearly that it all depends on where and not on what. So just because Bar Kapara is explaining why, according to Beit Shammai, it also depends on what, doesn't mean that Bar Kapora has thrown out the element of Rabbi Akiva's approach, which Rabbi Shammai certainly took into consideration. Where is also important. So therefore, begin, because of the fact that Rabbi Akiva defined it as, Rabbi Akiva Amar, that innately, makom tumato sham teis refato, we always will look at where it became tame in order to define burning it. That is basically the issue. Beit Shammai agrees with that. And therefore, if it was nitma outside, then that's where it needs to be burned. He agrees with Rabbi Akiva with that. The only thing that he disagrees with Rabbi Akiva is he holds, Rabbi Akiva holds, that I don't care what the type of tumah is. We never will bring the tumah in to burn if the tumah became tumah outside. Beit Shammai says that if something is only a tumah d'rabbanan, it really doesn't matter where it became tameh. Why? Because it isn't tameh. In other words, according to Beit Shammai, we view a tumah d'rabbanan as being a d'oraisa, a fiction. As far as the Torah is concerned, this thing is not tameh. So if the thing is not tameh, then we are left with simply the fact that if kachay kachim are taken outside of the Azorah, they're puzzle. If they're puzzle, the din is that kachay kachim that are psulim are burned in the Beis HaDeshen and the Azorah. So you're saying, yeah, but it's tummy. No, it's not. It's not really tummy. We're treating it as if it's tummy derabbanan. But that tumah derabbanan, according to Beit Shammai, does not actually become part of the dinim of tumah that should also click in the importance of where it became tummy. Because the chiddush of where it became tummy is only nogea, the din in the Torah. Okay, so in that he argues with Beit Shammai, with Rabbi Akiva. Beit Shammai does not agree with Rabbi Akiva. But in principle, that the mokum of Tuma is definitely a factor in where I'm going to burn it, that he agrees to. So where we're talking about an Ava Tuma, which according to Bar Kapora, this means the Ava Tuma is the D'oraisa, that's the whole point. Certainly Rabbi Akiva and Beit Shammai agree 100%. If it became Tuma outside, then the halacha is that it's burnt in the Bira and not in the Beit Hadash. So that works out fine. Now, let's understand Bar Kapara Libra Beit Hillel. Afilala de Beit Hillel, lo makasha, and is it so clear in Beit Hillel? I mean, remember that Beit Hillel says that always, in all circumstances, we always try to get things out of the Azara. Unless it was nitma bivlad hatuma bifnim, so then we will burn it inside. What is the difference between a vlad hatuma? If it's only a vlad hatuma, so then, if you hold a Vlad HaTumah is real, then don't bring it into the Azara. And if you hold it's not real, so then bring it into the Azara, whether it is Tame inside or outside. And in this case, I mean, I can't simply say that, well, I mean, what do you mean? Didn't we just explain that? And maybe Beis Hillel agrees with Rabbi Akiva. Then we say Beit Shammai agrees with Rabbi Akiva. So if Beit Hillel agrees with Rabbi Akiva, then where it becomes Tame is also definitive. So what are you asking me? That it should be the same. But that's not true. Because according to Rabbi Akiva, the factor is where it became Tame. And therefore, anything, even if it's an Avatum, if this is where it became Tame, the Torah says to burn it there. But Beit Hillel says, beferish, that that's not true. I mean, if he would agree with Rabbi Akiva, he couldn't make up the idea that, well, it depends. Where does it say in the Torah? It depends. If it says, Saref b'bakom kadosh, what's the difference if it's an avatum of latatum? It's obviously Rabbi Akiva and Beit Hillel do not agree fundamentally on the importance of this factor, in which case I don't understand if the way that Bar Kapora is attempting to explain things is that the difference is between a D'oraisa and a D'rabbanan. So then what's the difference? It's a Vlad HaTumah D'rabbanan. What's the difference where it became Tameh? In both cases, it's only an Isser D'rabbanan. And therefore, according to Bar Kapora, I don't understand what the additional factor is that is telling us to burn it b'chutz in the event that it took place b'chutz. Ah, that's something else. That's because of Rabbi Shimon's halacha. That's began the Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon Amar, that ma'achalo u'mashko shal mitzora mishtalkin chutz to sholesh machanes. Now we know that the mitzora has to be mechutz to machane moshavo. Rabbi Shimon brings a raya that even things that became tame through being associated with the mitzora, such as the ma'achal, the mashke, which is certainly not an avatuma, nonetheless is not even allowed to be brought into Yerushalayim. So then that means, according to Rabbi Shimon, we give the din of Tuma, wherever that Tuma came from, has all the chumras of the Isser Knisa. So if that's the case, Beis Hillel says, look, this Tuma, albeit it's only a Tuma d'Rabbanan, but based on the idea that, I mean, I hold Tuma d'Rabbanan is certainly Tuma, as opposed to what Beit Shammai is saying, that mid'oraisa, we don't give it any of the dinim of Tuma, we just treat it as a psul. So since I hold like Rabbi Shimon, I say you can't bring it in, that's all. So if you didn't bring it in and it's inside, okay, so then burn it like you're supposed to burn in the Beis HaDeshah. But you can't bring it in to burn it. So therefore, if it was Tuma, became Tuma outside, you have no choice but to burn it outside, even if you don't agree with Rabbi Akiva's fundamental point that you always need to burn where the tuma took place. So basically, everything now becomes very clear. If we're going like Bar Kapora, we can go back to our very simple chart in which we have basically four columns and four rows. So we have our four columns are going to be the shitas, which are on one end Beit Shammai and the other end Beit Hillel. And then we have Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer in between. And then we have the four possible variations because of the two elements, where and what. So we have Avatuma that happened outside, Avatuma that happened inside, Vladatuma that happened outside, Vladatuma that happened inside. And we have, again, Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai are on opposite ends. So according to, first of all, let's take a look at the simplest chart, the top and the bottom. The top and the bottom rows all say the same thing, because everybody agrees in the case of the Avatuma outside that you burn it outside, but for different reasons. Everybody agrees that for a Vladatuma inside, you burn it inside, again, but for different reasons. So according to Rabbi Akiva, you burn it inside because it took place inside. According to Beit Hillel, you burn it inside because you always burn inside if you can. So therefore, according to him, you're just not allowed to have Tumah in there. But since over here, there's no Isra of Hachnasa of the Tumah, why not burn inside? Because that's where it is. That's a completely different approach. According to Beit Shammai, well, obviously we burn it inside because we always burn it inside. The only time we burn it outside is where it's actually an Avatuma and you're not allowed to bring it in. So it's pretty clear how this stacks up. The only differences that we see, the major differences between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva, so that although both agree that if the Tumah took place outside and it's an Avatuma, obviously it's burned outside. Both agree that if it's a Vladatuma and it occurred inside, that it's burned inside. The difference would be if it's an Avatuma inside, according to Rabbi Akiva, the factor, the sole factor, where did the Tumah take place? Inside, it's burned inside. According to Rabbi Eliezer, the sole factor, what's the Chumra of the Tumah? Tumah Chamura, burned outside. In the other case, if it's a Vladatuma and it took place outside, again, according to Rabbi Akiva, the only factor is where did it happen? Happened outside? Burn it outside. According to Rabbi Eliezer, the only factor is how chomer is it? It's just a Vladatuma. Then burn it inside. So it's really very, very clear. And now you've got the entire picture. Continuing on now with the idea of placement. Once we understand that that's what the Masechet is about in this area, we can understand the next Mishnah, even though the Mefarshei Mishnah are very confused about what this Mishnah is doing here, because it seems to be a Mishnah, as we'll see in a moment after the introduction by the Amarkal. It's something that has to do with the way in which you do the Avodah. It doesn't seem to have anything to do with the Dinim of Shkolim. But now that we see that the point of Shkolim is the relationship to the place and time of a thing, this becomes completely understandable. Please, Amarkal, Capitan, Catholic, please introduce. So, the Evrei HaTamid, as you will recall, after we do the Shechita and we do the processing, the butchering, we don't bring the Evorim directly up to the Mizbeach. What we do is first we have the Kohanim that take it and put it onto the Kevesh. The Kevesh, you will remember, is this ramp that goes up to the Mizbeach. It's on the southern side. It's 32 amot long. It's 16 amot wide. And the question is, where on the Kevesh will we put those Evarim? So now the Mishnah is Mechadesh, that we put the Evarim on different places depending on what type of Karbanis they are. And one of the most important variations in this Mishnah has to do with the Karbanis that will hopefully be brought later today, and that is Rosh Chodesh, because the special dinam of Musfei Rosh Chodesh are in order to make certain that everybody realizes that's Rosh Chodesh. So what we do is, if you're talking about the Tamid, which is brought every single day, so those were put on the lower part, meaning from the 16 amos down on the 32 amma long kevesh. So they were placed on the lower part towards the west is the correct girsa. And towards the west means it would be closer to the mokum of the knisa into the Beis HaMikdash. It's near the ulam. And if you see something there, you know that those are the Evrei Tamid, and the next group of Kohanim that takes it up from the Kevesh LeMizbeach will take it up from there. Now, the Shal Musafim, how about if the Evorim come from the Musafim? Then they're put on Chatzi Kevesh V'lamata, but they're put on the Mizrach. Shal Rosh Chodesh, that is put somewhere entirely different. That is put Nitanim al Karkov HaMizbeach Milamala. So those are put all the way on top. And okay, you just need to know that there's a lot of different girsos in this Mishnah, and the way that it is in the Bavli is very different than actually flips the places in which we put it from east to west, and also explains that when it's talking about the Musafim of Rosh Chodesh, it doesn't mean they're put on top of the Mizbeach in the Karkov. It means that they are put on the Kevesh Kineged the Sove, which is then referred to as the equivalent of a Karkov. But as we saw before, what's the Karkov HaMizbeach that we explained in the Yerushalmi? It's the area of the Mokum Hiluch HaKoyanim. The Mokum Hiluch HaKoyanim was a rough area on the top of the Mizbeach that would prevent slippage, which was an amma wide for walking around the Eish. And it also included the Mokum Hiluch HaKoyanim, even though you couldn't walk around it, the outermost amma. You couldn't walk around it because if you were in the outermost amma, you would bump into the Karen at the end. So it wasn't really a place to walk around the Mokum HaMa'arocha, but nonetheless, there was place there to stand. So that entire area is being called here the Karkov, and we put it up there, Milamala. Now the Girsa is Milamata in the Bavli. Hashkalim v'habikurim. And now we need to know when we have, as we're talking also about when. So the Shkalim and the Bikurim are only Noheg Bifnei HaBayit. If there's no Beis HaMikdash, then there's no din of Shkalim and there's no din of Bikurim. Avomas. Now we're going to see the reason for this is a Gezeira, really, that we don't want you to, the Bikurim, obviously, because there is no din of the Mizbeach. We learned that out of the pasuk itself, as we'll see. The Shkalim, we don't want kachim lying around, so you're not allowed to make things because you could actually end up being nirsha. But when it comes to Maaser Dagan and Maaser Behima and Bechorot, that is a mitzvah bein bifnei abayit, bein shalo bifnei abayit. Now, as you know, when you're saying to yourself, what? I never heard of Maaser Behima. And that's because the Rabbanan subsequently ossered people from making Maaser Behima, even though it's a mitzvah. Remember that the Rabbanan can be mevatel a mitzvah b'shevi al ta'aser, which is exactly what they did. Because if people would make a Maaser Behima, then it is very likely that somebody's going to be nichshal in it, either in gizah or in avodah, or forgetting that it's Maaser and actually shechting it and being over on shchut echutz, God help us. So there would be so many chomor isurim, the Rabbanan said, better to be mevatel that mitzvah. Now, there is no way to be mevatel the mitzvah of the Bechor, because the Torah makes the Bechor Kodesh upon birth, so therefore, you're in trouble if you have a Bechor. And that's why we do everything in our power to avoid the Kedusha of the Bechorah, so that we don't get into trouble by getting a goy to own part of the animal and so on, to avoid all of these problems. But theoretically, Maaser Dagan, that you know that we have Bizman Hazeh, Maaser Behima, which is compared to Maaser Dagan, and Bechorahs, all are in effect, whether there is a Beis HaMikdash or not. So now the question is, what would happen if somebody would be Magdash? So if somebody would be Magdash Shkolim or Bikurim Bizman HaZeh, it would indeed be Kodesh. Whereas Rabbi Shimon says, no, there is no Bikurim Bizman HaZeh. And calling them Bikurim will not give them Kedusha, because we learned that from the Pasuk. So ha'omer bikurim kodesh, then it's eno kodesh. We'll see what Rabbi Shimon holds agabi the shkolim, because he seems to only be talking about the issue of the bikurim. Now, The one thing that is strange in the Mishnah is like why the Musaf of Rosh Chodesh is treated so differently than normal Musafim. And instead, we put it on the Karkov HaMizbeach. So first of all, what do we mean by the Karkov? Ezeo Karkov HaMizbeach, it's the Ama Ben Keren LeKeren, Mokom Hiluch Raglea Kohanim. Now that doesn't make any sense because the area between the Kronot is not the Mokom Hiluch LeKohanim. Because they're going to bump into the Keren and therefore they'll just fall over. So it doesn't make any sense. So actually, okay, the Gemara in Zvachim explains that what the Braisa means is that the two areas, in other words, Bein Keren LeKeren, plus the Am of Makom Hiluch Kohanim, all of that area is considered to be the rough area, which is the Karkov, because the fact is that Kohanim do stand across the area. They just don't walk around, obviously, over the Kronot. So that's how we understand the Braita. It means in that entire space. So the question is, if you have Musvei Shabbat and you have Musvei Rosh Chodesh, there seem to be implications here about where we're placing the Musvei Rosh Chodesh in a very prominent place as to whether that has to do with the Hashivas or something of the Rosh Chodesh or perhaps the importance of people knowing it's Rosh Chodesh, which would have application to other dinim as well. Because let's say in terms of Kodem, which one would be Kodem? Which one takes precedent if you have the Musaf Shabbos and Musaf Rosh Chodesh, or Shabbos falls, Rosh Chodesh falls out on a Shabbos? So which one do we do first? So Rabbi Yirmiyah, he wanted to say that if you've got Musaf Shabbos and Musaf Rosh Chodesh, we see from here that Musaf Rosh Chodesh should come first. Wow, that's a big chiddush. Why? Well, Chayilei de Rabbi Yirmiyah, remember in the Yerushalmi, the idea of the concept of a mokar, or the shoresh of a halacha, or a siyua to a halacha, is called Chayilei. It's his strength. He brings his strength from here. Chayilei de Rabbi Yirmiyah min had. And this is what you're going to have to handle in order to argue with Rabbi Yirmiyah. That if you've got the Shir Shal Shabbat and the Shir Shal Rosh Chodesh, you say the Shir Shal Rosh Chodesh first before you say the Shir Shal Shabbos. So that, if that's the case, so then surprisingly, we would want people to know it's Rosh Chodesh and we would put it even ahead of Shabbos. Questions whether this means only even ahead of Shabbos, or whether it means, as the Rambam learns, that we only say Shal Rosh Chodesh. We don't say two separate Shiras on a day. And the reason would be because we want to be Mefarsem, the same as our Mishnah. That's why we're putting these Evarim in such a special place. So Amar Rabbi Yosef says, I don't think that's a Raya, because over there, it's a very different point. Over there, since Rabbi Chiya explained that the reason, he said this b'shem Rabbi Yochanan, the reason that we use the Shir Shal Rosh Chodesh first is k'dei lefarsimo v'lohodio shu Rosh Chodesh. We want everyone to know it is Rosh Chodesh. Masha Einkein, when it comes to this issue, Baram, now this piece over here, the Gra puts at the end, so we'll put it at the end of the next couple of lines, take out this piece of Kesad who was said, and so on. But first, Baram, first Rabbi Yosef is going to make the difference. So Baram, however, over here, when it comes to the din of Kedima, if you want to know whether we should first do Rosh Chodesh or first do Musvei Shabbos, so then the Musvei Shabbos come first because we have a general rule for Kedima. And the general rule for Kedima is Kol HaTadir Mechavero Kodem Et Chavero. So therefore, whatever is more of has a higher frequency is also going to come before anything else. So then obviously, Shabbos is brought every single Shabbos. Rosh Chodesh is only brought once a month. And therefore, we would bring the Musvei Shabbos first, in which case, and here's where the Gra puts that, the words that we had before, in which case, Ketzad will say, so what should he do? He does the Shechita, the Musvei Shabbos, but he says the Shir Shal Rosh Chodesh on the Musvei Shabbos. Now, when Rabbi Shimon argues about Shkolim and Bikurim, the point seems to be that the Shkolim would be Kodesh. But I think that we can hold this for our Siyum on Shkolim. And now we can move on, which is our normal Seder, believe it or not, to the part of Masechet Ohalos, which is Nogea today's daf. And that was the Machlokas Rashi and Tosis about the Ava Tumah Derabbanan and the Ava Tumah Deoraisa, which is actually the Mishnah that we are up to today.